In the name of the one true living God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, He made us and He made all things visible and invisible. He upholds us and all things by the word of His power. Grace, mercy, and peace from Him who was, who is, and who is to come, the triumphant Savior King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, this Sunday our series continues from the book of Revelation under the theme, Sharing King Jesus' Suffering and Victories. The theme is based on the central verse of Revelation 12, verse 11. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. Today's brief message, entitled Christ's Care and Concern for the Church, is the second of three sermons dealing with the content of the letters to the seven churches in the second and the third chapters of the book of Revelation. Our text for today's message starts with a letter to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, Revelation 3, verses 7 to 13, with reference to parts of the other six letters, and we focus on Christ's commendations and exhortations to each of the seven churches. Let us listen attentively to God's holy word. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the True One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie, behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. Because you have kept my words about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Brothers and sisters, it is the will of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we receive His word with believing hearts and be edified in Christ. Let us pray. Almighty, Holy, Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank You that You have not left us lost in the terrible and deadly consequences of our rebellion against Your holy will. We thank You for Your life-giving word. How wonderful the way it leads us to feed on Christ and build us up in Him. We pray that He and He alone would be exalted and that we may be built up by the power of Your Holy Spirit as Your word leads us to be edified by Christ's grace. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, to each of the seven churches, Christ announced who He is in distinct words that reflected His particular view and concern for each of the churches. Let's remember that it was the responsibility of the angels, also called stars, of each of the churches to receive and read the letters. Again, it's important to keep in mind that the level of faithfulness to Christ in churches is always impacted by the quality of their spiritual leaders. They are in charge of the ministry of Christ's word to Christ's people. They provide food for his sheep. Each letter to each angel of each church starts by saying who Christ is and emphasizes something he knows about that church. To Ephesus, Christ holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. He says to her, "I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary." So, the Ephesian church was a strong and discerning one. It was well taught and capable of seeing through impostors who claimed to be apostles. It stood valiantly for Christ's name and honor in the face of much pressure on the part of false teachers. To Smyrna, Christ is the first and the last, who died and came to life. To her, he says, "I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan." The church in Smyrna, then, was a suffering church, harassed by unbelieving Jews who were intimidating her by calling her names as ignorant of God's word and follows a false Messiah. They falsely claimed to teach the truth in their synagogue. They were exactly the same type of unbelieving Jews who tried to intimidate the Philadelphia congregation. Both groups were called false Jews and synagogue of Satan. True Jews believe what Abraham believed and could discern that Jesus is Abraham's promised seed, the true Messiah of God. The real purpose of synagogues was to study the Old Testament scriptures. They were supposed to guide people to Christ, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah of God. Contradicting or denying this is the work of the devil. In his epistles, John three times refers to those types of people who deny that Jesus is the Messiah, God incarnate, God in the flesh. He called them Antichrist. Here is what he stated about them in 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 to 22. "Children, it's the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy Spirit, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son." In verse 3 of chapter 4, John says, "Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already." In his second epistle, John writes these words, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus the Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist." Brothers and sisters, in Revelation as well as in his first two epistles, clearly John reflects Jesus' judgment announced also in the Gospel of John, directed to those unbelieving Jews that sought to kill him. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 44, we read what Jesus said to them. "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Now we move to Pergamon, where Christ has the sharp two-edged sword. To the church in Pergamon, Jesus says, "I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. You hold fast my name, and you do not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is." So, this is another suffering church harassed by Satan, Christ's very enemy, who seems to have a formidable following among Jews and Gentiles. This church at Pergamon reflected much resolve in the face of severe suffering, even when one of its members, Antipas, was martyred for his faithful commitment and witness to Christ. Brothers and sisters, to Thyatira, Christ speaks the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. To her, he says, "I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first." Here we have a suffering church which not only persevered but also continued to grow in its faith, in its love, and its service. To the church in Sardis, Christ speaks the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. To her, he says, "I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead." So Sardis represented many contemporary showy congregations, giving false impressions about their states of affairs, loud in their claims and activism, but lacking in the life-giving Word of God. Then we go to Philadelphia, where Christ is the Holy One, the True One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. To her he says, "I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." As we already saw, like Smyrna, she was harassed by the synagogue of Satan, led by unbelieving Jews. Although she seems to be young in the faith and does not enjoy much strength, encountering the agents of Satan, she remained faithful to the word and to the name of Christ. Finally, we come to Laodicea, where Christ is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. To her, he says, "You are neither cold nor hot. Would you that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Laodicea, then, is a wishy-washy church, vacillating in her spiritual life. It didn't manifest a consistent walk with Christ. Brothers and sisters, the Lord and head of the church, her Savior, Redeemer, is fully conscious of those who are organized bodies under His holy, precious name. We all need to remember this. Above all things, our churches need to be fed and built up by the life-giving Word of God. This consolidates our stand in Christ in the face of the ever-present temptations to give in to false, man-centered teachings and practices. The combined message of the seven letters to the seven churches is clear. The Word, divinely authored by the Holy Spirit, is also the Holy Spirit's instrument for protecting churches against the appealing attractions to deviate from Christ's ways. These attractions have antagonistic spiritual forces behind them. Godless contemporary religious, social, material, and cultural pressures are clearly at work against Christ even in churches. A church not immersed in the ministry of the Word needs to be awakened and revived by it. The fact is that it is through the Word that fellowship with Christ and life in Him are genuine and abiding. Which Christ does the church follow and commit to? The only true Christ is Jesus, the one and only Messiah, ministered to us by the Holy Scriptures. From His mouth came a sharp, two-edged sword. That is the life-giving Word of God. Hallelujah. The grace of the Savior King, the Messiah of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the full blessing of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, abide with God's people in all nations throughout the whole earth. Amen.